The process of transforming VA has certainly been a challenging one, but an effective one. We've got a leadership team here now, such as Secretary Shinseki, Secretary Gould, myself, who are all vets ourselves and who understand on a very personal basis, you know, what VA needs to do. It's been a real ride for me to come along and try to implement new programs, and I think we've been fairly successful with the GI Bill, the Agent Orange decisions, things that are going to help veterans from all generations.
It seems like the transformation goal has been to just speed up things for veterans, clear out the barriers to them getting benefits quickly, such as using online tools.
Absolutely. And it's about, you know, switching this organization, which, while we have the best electronic medical record system in the country, was completely paper-bound in our benefits system. And we've completely switched, you know, we're in the process of completely switching that over to an electronic format. We're working with DOD for the virtual lifetime electronic records. Online, we have the blue button that you can actually download your health records. We have My E-Benefits, which is, I was just on there yesterday because I needed a printout of my VA home loan eligibility, and I could just go online and print it out myself and didn't have to ask anybody or wait in line. So we're getting there. And then, of course, I don't know if you've seen, but we just launched my personal project, the VA's new blog.
Yes, in fact, we talked about that. We're trying to get the chief blogger on the show as well next week. He's scheduled to come on, too, and the editor of that blog site. But let's talk about the veterans themselves. Now, the veterans population is changing. We are rapidly losing the World War II generation, and Korea and Vietnam are aging rapidly. So there's almost, hate to use the word, but a flood of veterans coming from the Iraq and Afghanistan wars as those continue into their 9th and 10th years. How is VA thinking about that changing population, changing demographics of the veterans it serves?
Well, we're doing quite a lot of new things in VA in order to serve veterans from all generations. I have to say, though, one of our fastest growing population of users of VA are Vietnam veterans. If you think about it, they're in their mid-60s. The youngest Vietnam veteran is about 55, 54, they are retiring. They're losing employer-provided health care, and as they look around, they realize, oh, I can get care at VA. Our recent decisions on Agent Orange is also going to bring many new Vietnam veterans into the system. So we have to continue to provide those benefits and access for them. They're our fastest user group of internet users for the VA. So you would have thought it was the young Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, but in fact, the largest population of VA's internet page users are Vietnam vets. The young folks are a little bit different. We have a lot more women who are serving. We have the first generation of combat vets that are female. So we've had to, we increased the number of women healthcare coordinators. We have Iraq and Afghanistan healthcare coordinators and welcome centers at all of our major medical facilities. And, we're doing new things like the blog page where they can actually come and ask for help. We have online mental health chat room 24/7. So we're trying lots of new things here.
Getting to that idea of more women, and they're not just having served as ambulance drivers or people operating in the back of the lines. They're really out there with the men.
Yeah, you're out there doing your job. When I was in Iraq, there was one other female pilot. Our female warriors are just as tough and tenacious as our male warriors, and they're out there defending America.
And I think another advance we have seen in recent years and recent months even is work toward removing the stigma of mental health problems that so many veterans, even soldiers while they're still serving, suffer. And so tell us about some of those efforts.
Absolutely. Post-traumatic stress is something that a large percentage of veterans have suffered from for as long as we've been sending military men and women to fight in our nation's wars. It's just always been called different things. And I tell people that, if you were willing to go get help for a gunshot wound, or if I was willing to go get help for my amputations, then you should be willing to go get help for post-traumatic stress and brain injuries, because those are also combat wounds. One of the things that's different about this generation of vets is that they are going back 3, 4, 5 times on these rotations. It's not the same as in previous generations where some folks serve, more than one tour in Vietnam. But most people did their one tour and came home. Here we have young men and women who are going back and forth over the course of the last 9 years. And there's a cumulative effect to both the post-traumatic stress, but also to brain injuries. You know, you get blown up a couple of times, even if it's a minor IED and then you have a little concussion. That adds up. And so we have a real push on to get help to these folks so that they come in and get the help that they need. And we're making it as accessible as possible. So they can call the telephone hotline, 800-273-TALK. They can go to the chat room, suicidepreventionlifeline.org. They can go to their nearest vet center. They can go to the hospitals. Wherever our vets are, we're going to make sure that they get the care that they need.
And we're speaking with Tammy Duckworth. She's the Assistant Secretary for Public and Intergovernmental Affairs at Veterans Affairs. And so it is Veterans Day. What are your plans today?
My plan today is to do what everybody should be doing on Veterans Day, which is celebrating our nation's warriors and, you know, go up to a vet and thank them for their service and try to do something for an organization that supports vets. You don't need to have served in uniform, but you need to do something, you know, donate to there's great charities and charitable organizations out there. I will start off the morning having a breakfast at the White House with veterans, the veterans organizations. From there, I go to Arlington to help with the national celebration of Veterans Day. And then we have a few events around D.C. And then the following day is my Alive Day. I was shot down 6 years ago on November 12th. So for me, it's a two-day kind of a thing. And on the 12th, I will be with the pilot in command of my aircraft, the man who saved my life, as I am every year, to say thank you.
Wow. And speaking of shot down and injuries, and we were discussing, you know, people that have amputations, a lot of efforts that have gone on in the battlefield by DOD have resulted in new surgical techniques and new medical techniques. Is the VA actively trying to get those fed back into the VA hospital system to advance their knowledge and practice of surgery and other forms of medicine?
Absolutely. VA, in actual fact, is on the cutting edge of research and technology. Many of the things that are being done around the country and around the world in cutting edge medical processes are were actually invented at VA. We invented the nicotine patch, the first liver transplant. We implanted the first pacemaker, and we are working very closely with our DOD partners to take any of the new techniques and systems that they're using in combat and applying them in our VA facilities. In fact, one of the things people don't realize is that over 90%, and that's 90% of all physicians in the United States receive some sort of training in their career at a VA facility. So we're out there, and we're going to make sure that these life-saving technologies that were proven in combat are there for our veterans in the VA system, but also that we're going to spread that technology out into the civilian population as well.
And looking at the year ahead, and we should also note that VA is funded. You don't have to worry about the continuing resolution, I don't believe, like other agencies do. So looking at the year ahead, what are the big plans for 2011 calendar year?
Well, we are going to continue to grow VA's budget. The president made some strong commitments. He gave us the largest budget increase in 35 years in 2009. He came back with another budget increase in 2010, and we expect that our budget will continue to grow in 2011 because the need is continuing to grow. Our big projects are to one that I work on is to end homelessness among veterans in 5 years. So I will personally be working very hard on that. We will continue to improve access to VA, whether it's through our more online systems or, you know, through things, services like Blue Button, My Healthy Vet, My E-Benefits. And then we're going to work on making sure that we get out to all of those veterans from Vietnam, that they can get the care for their Agent Orange illnesses that they certainly have waited far too long for, and that we continue to care for all of our vets and you know, everybody from World War II onwards, and we still have one World War I veteran out there, and of course to address the need of our increasing numbers of female vets.
There is still one World War I veteran out there?
There's still one World War I veteran out there, and VA actually is still paying benefits to two children of Civil War vets.
Two children of Civil
War
vets? Wow.
Yes. They, you know, these two Civil War vets had children very late in life, and the two children are, I think, in their 90s and 100s. So our nation's commitment to veterans is literally for the rest of their lives, and whatever we put into place now for Iraq and Afghanistan veterans will have to be there for the next 60 years, and we're committed to maintaining the highest quality.